Joe Courtney is a Democrat in Connecticut's beautiful 2nd District. He's been in office since 2007. Let me start where we left off the last time, Joe, with the tax, so-called tax cuts, which many of us are going to feel as tax pluses. I just want to advance a theory. The theory, which I think reiterates what I think I heard you saying, is the president sees this as a great victory, which he's now going to be able to tout. And yet, when the facts catch up with it, it's not going to look so pretty. And as a result, it may be more of a millstone than an achievement.
I believe that. I think that, again, as people, as this really sinks in terms of the incredible giveaways that were written into the bill in the last minute, again, as we talked last show, I mean, literally in the margins of the bill, in unintelligible script. And, you know, the New York Times walked through, you know, some of the special benefits, particularly for real estate investment trusts, which, you know, the president obviously has a great deal of experience in terms of understanding the benefits that this tax bill would give to that sector. Again, with absolutely no scrubbing in terms of, you know, any kind of input or hearing process. The fact that, folks with estates above $11 million are now going to see those estates get an even bigger tax break. And the total cost of that to the federal treasury is about $200 billion. There's a lot of things you could do with $200 billion, some of which would be to give working families a real tax credit in terms of the child care. I mean, again, Ivanka Trump has been out there sort of touting the child care tax credit. If you look at it closely, What they did was extend the tax credit to incomes as high as $200,000 and left the folks who really struggle with the high costs of child care really virtually unchanged in terms of existing law. So, it's touted as some kind of benefit for working families in terms of child care. It's not. It's a giveaway. I mean, members of Congress could qualify. Some members of Congress could qualify for what they did with the child tax credit. Really, if you talk to folks in that, part of the education system, the crisis that's out there right now, again, are for working families, people with, low-wage jobs who are trapped in terms of, not being able to care for their kids and still go to work. So, again, the examples just abound almost any direction that you look. And as I said, I think the 13 Republicans who voted no when the bill went through in the House were the smart guys and gals, because I think they understood, that this thing is toxic.
Joe Courtney, I thank you for that. Let me go to Connecticut politics. Governor Malloy is not going to run another time. His popularity is low. His lieutenant governor, Nancy Wyman, also doesn't want to run. So who you got?
So, again, there are three or four candidates that have been out there already. And, to some degree, they've been sort of campaigning a little bit in low gear, because I think particularly Lieutenant Governor Wyman's announcement was still, I think, potentially capable. If she had gone the other way, she was capable of clearing the field. That's not going to happen. We're going to have a very wide open field. I frankly think there's going to be other candidates that are going to be looking to get in. I mean, there's been reports about the mayor of Hartford, Luke Bronin, possibly getting in. Ned Lamont, who's a familiar name, I think probably to some of your listeners, is also, I think, taking a serious look at it. And so, I actually think for the party, having sort of an open, vigorous nomination process with the potential of sort of a fresh face that's not directly involved in what's been going on in Hartford for the last couple of years. And it's been very difficult, because you've really essentially had equally divided control of the legislature, which would be difficult for any governor. But I think having this kind of process in some ways, I think, is probably a good thing for the Democrats in terms of, offering sort of a fresh face, which is what I think, the state would respond to very positively. Assuming, again, it's really someone who can clearly articulate a vision for the state about how we, in my opinion, have to grow our way out of the situation we're in.
let me switch from that one to the Democrats' chances to retake the House and the Senate in 2018. You think that can happen?
So now I'm putting on my hat as Landslide Joe, as you recall. Right. I won by 83 votes the last time the House flipped, and was in the center of that whole cohort of seats that made the difference. And Rahm Emanuel, who you may recall, was quarterbacking the House Democrats back then in town not that long ago, and we were sort of comparing notes in terms of where we are today. I think is important to remember is that in 2006, the House Democrats were not predicting a flip of control of the House until really almost October before the election. Mm. These things really they move swiftly, particularly in the final 6 to 8 weeks of a campaign. And frankly, the same thing happened in 2010 when the roof collapsed. And the House flipped the backwards. I don't think anyone saw a 60-vote swing or 60-seat swing, which occurred there. So again, we've got a ways to go. What I think Rahm noted was that you should be looking for retirements, and we've certainly seen a spate of those in the Republican side, and some of those seats are very winnable. Frank Lobiondo, from New Jersey, Charlie Dent from Pennsylvania, good guys, by the way, who announced that they were hanging it up. So those are things to keep an eye on. There's no question that, candidate recruitment has been totally off the charts in terms of, really smart, interesting people. A lot of folks with military backgrounds who are running as Democrats this year. And obviously the fundraising is strong in terms of a lot of those folks that are running out there. The sort of top line numbers for generic ballot preference are very favorable. I think it was 9 points in the last Gallup poll that I saw. But again, that stuff is really, that's more fluid. And I just think it's way too early for people to read too much into that. The president's numbers, I think, are frankly the ones that are much more significant. And at this point,
it keeps going down. It keeps going down.
He's in the realm of George Bush in 2006, which obviously, was the driving force of that election. There was a great book, actually, about 2006. It's short, too. It's called The Thumpin', which was written by a Chicago Tribune writer who followed Rahm around during that campaign, describing, the dynamics of that House election, which, again, changed control. And I encourage people to read it because it's a really good sort of primer in terms of, what was going on there. You will note that there are a few mentions of the 2nd District of Connecticut in the book. But again, I think for people who really, want to kind of compare and measure where we are right now, it's a good book to read.
It's always great to talk to our friend Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut, 2nd District in office since 2007. Joe, I can never get enough of your being on the show because, it's always great to see the way people are thinking, and you are a great describer of that. Thanks again, Joe.
Great. I'll be back. Thanks, Alan.